or let's go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Isaiah is a prophet, and he is prophesying the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. And this is what he says about the Messiah. He said, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine." Saying this about Jesus, that there is going to be a time of darkness, but then there is going to be this glorious light that comes into the world. And this light is going to shine in such a way, there's going to be such a glory on his life. This light is going to shine in the midst of the darkness, and that's what Isaiah said. And this is what John says in John chapter 1, speaking about Jesus. He says, "The Word, who is Jesus, gave life to everything that was created. And his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." This morning, Destiny and I want to speak to you on the subject of light for the world. Light for the world. Let's pray. God, I ask in the next few moments that you would open up our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our mind to understand, and our heart to receive the fullness of everything you want to communicate to us today. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody with expectation said,
Amen. Well, I love Christmas time. Do you love Christmas time? I mean, I absolutely love it. I just got up my Christmas tree and my stockings. But if you drive by my house, there are no lights. I mean, I am very impressed with myself that I was able to get a tree up. You know, anybody feel me? But those of you who are just amazing and you do those light displays, we just all want to thank you, because we get in our cars and we drive by your house and we pretend it's ours. We do. And our kids enjoy it so much. I love Christmas lights. And I think that light is the perfect imagery for Christmas, right? The scripture says it right there, that light was come into the world. And all these Christmas lights, they remind us of the light that has come into the world. But there's one kind of Christmas light that I have a cold, and that's why I'm sucking on all these cough drops, just in case you were thinking I was popping candy. I had one person back there, you know, I got my cough drop out, and they were like, "Oh my gosh, is that a peppermint? Like, seriously, she's preaching." But anyway, I have a cold. This is a cough drop. We'll deal with it. But there's one kind of Christmas light I don't want you to experience this Christmas. Anybody have a favorite dessert that your aunt brings, you know, or your grandma, and it's wonderful? And then there's that year they decide to get healthy, and they make it with Splenda. And I don't care what any of you say, it's not the same. It's the light version. And you're taking a bite, and you're like, "Yeah, Grandma, it's just, I can't tell the difference." And inside, you're crying. You know, it's the diet version. It's the light version. It's the substitute version. It's the thing that doesn't have the substance that all the other stuff has. Or how about light apps? You know, like Angry Birds light version. Or all the little game things light. And you're like, "Oh, that'll satisfy me. I'll just get that little app, and I'll be able to play my game. I won't want to unlock the other 158 features." You know, those ads aren't really going to bug me. I mean, come on. It's no big deal. And you know what? That might be true for you as an adult. But Carolina Lee Dees, my four-year-old, that light version is her nemesis. I mean, I'm telling you, I've told everybody in the family, if you're not going to pay for it, don't put an app on your phone. Why? Because it creates all these conversations. "Mama, I want to do this, but it's locked. Can you unlock it for me?" "No, we can't unlock it." Mom, she gets disappointed, and then I get frustrated. Anybody there with me? Yeah, and you know what's so funny is light versions aren't filling, are they? Yeah. Light apps are disappointing. And if you try to experience Christmas light this year, the diet version of Christmas, the fake version of Christmas, the version of Christmas that isn't what it was intended to be, that's off recipe, then you're probably going to be frustrated and disappointed too. Let me tell you what Christmas light looks like. Christmas light is when you buy into consumerism and you determine that the success of your Christmas is determined by the reactions around the tree, the postability of your dinner photos, how many likes your Facebook post about that elf gets. Christmas light is when you decide to just take care of you and your family and you ignore the rest of the world. When you celebrate the greatest gift that was ever given to humanity by making sure that you and yours get exactly what you want. Wow. Wow. Christmas light is when you forget that those who serve you in restaurants and in stores have families of their own who love and care about them this Christmas. Christmas light is when we get caught up in the beauty of the season and we forget the beauty of the manger. Christmas light is when we take God out of his place as the center of our celebration and we make him a weapon to use to force others to celebrate like us.
Wow, wow.
The war on Christmas starts in each of our hearts, and it's a war that's waged 365 days a year, begging you, begging me to choose greed over generosity and earthly values over heavenly ones. See, Christmas is about the humility of Christ. It's about the King of Kings and the Lord of all, the creator of the universe, coming down through space and time to inhabit the body of a human and to be laid in a manger. What a humbling moment. What an incredible sacrifice. What a beautiful gift. And it's this gift that we celebrate. It's his tree that hides under the ornaments. It's his hymns that are hummed in cities across the globe. It's his death that's foreshadowed by wise men at mangers on every street. Yeah. See, Christ came to give hope to you, yes, to your family, yes, to your neighbors, yes, but also to your enemies. To people who are distant from you, who you can turn off the television and ignore, like refugees and orphans and people who are suffering this Christmas in ways that we will never comprehend. See, the beauty of Christmas is transformative. It's amazing. But not if you just settle for the light version. So this Christmas, we're going to focus on Christmas light. We're not going to settle for the light version of Christmas.
Amen. This morning we're going to look at Christmas light. We want to give you an acrostic for the word light as we give a little definition for what does it mean to celebrate Christmas light the way that Jesus has called us to celebrate it. And the L stands for life. The light is life. The light is life. John 8 verse 12 says this. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. You see, Jesus is not just something that's cool, not just something that's trendy. Jesus is not your good luck charm. No, Jesus is the light that leads to real life. And he says, if you follow me, you will not have to walk in darkness. Letting us know that if we do not follow him, then ultimately we are walking in darkness. We are walking surrounded by fear and uncertainty and doubt. If we are not walking in the light and we are walking in darkness, then we are walking our own way and we don't have all the answers and we don't have all the wisdom and we don't have all the strength that we need. But he says, you don't have to walk in darkness. You can choose to follow me, and when you choose to follow me, you will walk in the light. And when you walk in the light, you will find life in the midst of the light. You see, because ultimately, not only is Jesus the light of the world, Jesus is also life. That's what he told Thomas in John 14:6. He told him, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying, I am the only way. I am the only way to real truth. I am the only way to real life. And this is what we have discovered about real things, is that real things always have imitations, especially if the real thing has value. Okay, so I would say that our life is valuable. Real life, the abundant life that Jesus wants to give us, that there's value. There's value in living a life of fulfillment, living a life of peace, living a life of joy, living with a life of overcoming victory. There's real value in that. So if the real thing is valuable, then you have to know there's an imitation. That's why you have like imitation Louis Vuitton purses, okay? I mean, there are purses that were made by Louis Vuitton, and then there were purses that have Louis Vuitton on them that were not made by Louis Vuitton. There are Rolex watches. There are watches that were made by Rolex, and then there were watches that were not made by Rolex. We tend to call those Polexes, okay, whatever. But, I mean, that's, there are Oakley sunglasses, and then there are people that made a sunglass and put a big O on them, and we like to call them Folkleys, right? I mean, they are fake Oakleys. They really exist. And, you know, maybe even you grew up, maybe you were an imitation at one time. Maybe you thought you were Michael Jordan because you went out and you bought his shoes, and you could go in the backyard, and you could stick your tongue out like this and dribble the basketball, and you thought you were Mike. But let me just tell you something about imitations. Imitations will always disappoint you. Imitations will always let you down, because you might look like Mike, but you don't shoot like Mike. Your watch might say Rolex, but it's going to break quick. That purse, I don't care what tag is on it. If it was not made by the person that said they made it, that purse is going to tear up on you almost immediately after you walk out of the store with it. Because imitations will always let you down, and I want you to know that the imitation life will do the exact same thing to you. Because God has a life of value, that means the enemy is always going to offer you an imitation. He's always going to offer you a cheap version. He's going to always offer you an alternative version. And the imitation life that he offers, I can promise you this, it comes with big promises, but it leads to big problems. It comes with guarantees of fulfillment, but it will always leave you empty. It promises you a good time, but it has a tendency always to leave you broken and unhappy. You see, that is the imitation life. It will not fulfill you. Don't fall for the imitation this season. Don't fall for the imitation, because you have access to the real thing. You have access to real love and to real joy and to real peace and to real fulfillment. You have access to the real thing. So this Christmas season, don't go out there and buy into the imitation. Don't buy into the thing that the enemy is trying to sell you, because it's not going to take you where you want to go, and it's not going to make you who you want to be. But today Jesus has opened a door for you so that you could step into the real thing, and so that his light could take you to the real and abundant life that you were created for.
Jesus is the light, Jesus is life, and Jesus is inclusive. Mm. Jesus' message is radically inclusive. See, the scripture says that he came to bring light to everyone. There's no caveat, there's no exception, there's no carve out. He came to bring the light to everyone. And we can know that Jesus' message was inclusive because of two interactions that he has in the scriptures. One is with the Samaritans, and the other is with Peter. Now, the Samaritans were considered by Jews as half pagans, okay? Half pagans. And this is why. They had a temple where they worshiped God that was on a different mountain than the one that was in Jerusalem. Now, you may say, oh, is that kind of like having a different church? No. See, the temple was the only place where the presence of God was supposed to reside on earth. It was a big deal. And so the Jews said, you're heretics. You're pagans. You've mixed your culture with our beliefs, and we reject you completely. They didn't talk to Samaritans. They didn't do business with Samaritans. They didn't eat with Samaritans. They were so demonized. They were just a completely separate group. You don't have anything to do with Samaritans. And then Jesus. Jesus goes out of his way to speak not just to a Samaritan, but a Samaritan woman. He goes out of his way to evangelize the Samaritans, and he doesn't even address the whole temple issue. And then he makes the Samaritan the hero of his story. Are you kidding me? I mean, the most famous story, probably the most famous story that anybody knows about the Bible. I mean, people know about the Good Samaritan. There are laws called Good Samaritan laws. It's crazy. And it's named after a people group that his people hated. Not passively, actively. See, Jesus' light in his life is inclusive, and it's so inclusive that it should make you uncomfortable. But this is what's so great, is you're included. It doesn't matter if you've been a half-pagan. It doesn't matter if other people have rejected you. It doesn't matter how his followers have treated you. You are included. And so is that person you don't think is included. Not only does his interactions with the Samaritans inform us, but also his interactions with Peter tell us that Jesus' message and Jesus' love was inclusive. I mean, we think about Peter. You know, Peter was his disciple. He was one of his top three. He was his best friend. This is the guy who got to see Jesus take on a heavenly form and talk to Moses and Elijah. Big deal, right? I mean, the people who get into that party, that's very exclusive. He gets to see Jesus do all kinds of miracles. He walks with Jesus. He even walked with Jesus on the water. I don't know of anybody else in history who has done this. It's unreal how close Jesus and Peter must have been. Peter was who Jesus turned to in his darkest hour and said, "Pray with me." It was Peter he brought closer to him during that time. And yet, it was that same night when Jesus was being beaten and ridiculed and spit on and condemned to death, that Peter deserted him in his worst day. I mean, you know, it's one thing to get betrayed by your friend on your best day, right? I mean, like, when you're doing good, when you just got a raise, and your friend just totally betrays you, it's like, man, that wasn't nice, but, you know, what about on your worst day? What about when you've been abandoned by everybody? What about when you're facing the worst thing ever? That's when Peter decides to bail. But when Jesus comes face to face with Peter again, not only does he say, "Yes, you're still included. You get to stay in the family. You're still in the light. You're still having my love." He also gave him a mandate and said, "I'm going to trust you to take this light and take this message to other people." There's nothing you can do to exclude yourself, not just from the family of God, but from the mandate of God to see this world changed by his message. And there's nothing that the black sheep of your family can do either. There's nothing that that coworker that you secretly wish would just quit or leave or something worse can do either. The light is inclusive.
Amen. The light is life. The light is inclusive. And the G is the light is greater. The light is greater. Psalm 135, verse 5 says this: "I know the greatness of the Lord." And somebody needs to say amen. Amen. "I know the greatness of the Lord, that our Lord is greater than any other God." Has it ever dawned on you that darkness has never won a fight against the light? In all of human history, darkness has never won a fight against the light. It doesn't matter how hard it tries, darkness cannot overcome the light. That's why whenever you walk into a dark room with a flashlight and you turn the flashlight on, whenever you turn the flashlight on, you never have to wonder if the darkness of the room is going to start pushing back the light, going, no, not today, not today. We're not going to light up today, and pushing the light all the way back into the flashlight. It never happens. Because whenever you walk into the room and you turn the flashlight on, the light shines into the darkness. The light penetrates the darkness. The light is what drives the darkness back. And there is nothing that the darkness can do about it. And I believe that's why John compares Jesus to the light. Because whenever Jesus shows up, there's nothing that anybody else can do about it. Whenever God speaks a word, there's nothing the enemy can do about it. Whenever the power of God is released, there is nothing that the enemy of God can do about it. And that's why John says in the scripture that we read in verse 5 in chapter 1, he says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never. Now, I don't know if you know what the Greek word of never is, but it means never. It means never. The darkness can never extinguish the light. That's why whenever we lift our hands and we sing the champion of heaven, it's not that he's having to fight again today or he's got a rematch again next week. No, he is the champion of all times, because darkness can never overcome the light. The light came into the world and it shines so bright that all the darkness was driven back, and he stands as the champion once and for all. You see, the light is greater. The light is greater. Ever since God said these words, let there be light, darkness has always had to take a back seat. Because the light has always conquered the darkness. And not only does the Bible declare Jesus is the light in John 8 that we already read, but John, in one of his letters to the church in 1 John chapter 1, he says that God is light. So he says that the Father is light. The Father is shining. The Father is bright. There is no sin in him. He is shining bright and glorious. He says that Jesus is the light of the world. And you need to know today that God is shining. God is shining. It doesn't matter what season of life you're in today, God is still shining. It doesn't matter the state of our economy today, God is still shining. It doesn't matter who you are or what you have done, God is still shining today. And you need to know this, that your sinning doesn't stop God from shining. Your sin doesn't keep God from shining his light. And you need to know this morning that the light of God is greater than your darkness. The light of God is greater than your sin. The light of God is greater than your fear. The light of God is greater than your shame. The light of God is greater than your greatest mistake. And his light is shining into your life. And his light is shining so that he can lead you to the life that you were created for. You see, Jesus comes to shine his light in your life because he wants you to know that there's more. He wants you to know that you were created for a purpose and a destiny. He wants you to know that God has a plan for your life. And so Jesus comes to shine the light, to let you know that his light is greater than anything that you're facing. His light is greater than your biggest disappointment. His light is greater than your depression. His light is greater than your trial. It's greater than your trouble. His light is greater. And when his light shines into your life, it will never ever be extinguished, because the light is greater.
Amen. I'm so grateful that the light is greater. The light is also here. The light's here. You know, I love the part of the scripture where it says the light was coming into the world, because it's past tense. You see, there was a time when hope was coming. There was a time when love was coming. There was a time when light was coming. But darkness was here. Have you ever waited for something? Anybody spend a lot of their time waiting? I mean, I feel like I have spent an excessive amount of time in my life waiting at airports, either to be picked up or to pick someone else up. And it's the same. It doesn't matter where you are, anywhere in the world. The last 5 minutes before someone picks you up and takes you where you need to go are the worst. I mean, you can be patient. You can be godly. You can, like, let people in front of you in the check-in line. You can be patient all day long. But that last 5 minutes It just, I sit at the front of the plane on my last leg of the journey because I know I need to get off. And you know, the worst is when you text somebody, like when you land and you're like, hey, I'm here. And they say, oh, great. Well, I'll leave the house now.
But you got in early. 5 minutes early.
Yes, that's why they have flight trackers. So anyway, but the best is when you land and you turn on your phone and it pops up and it says, I'm here and I'm waiting for you. Today, God is not stuck in traffic. He's not waiting in a cell phone lot. He's not even downstairs on the curb in his car waiting for you to drag your baggage out to him. God is the guy who's right past security, who has a big bunch of balloons and a sign with your name on it and starts jumping up and down when he sees you round the corner. That's how God feels about you. I mean, how else would he feel? He's the God who sent his only son through space and time to die for you. Do you think that somehow he is just apathetic about you? You don't send your son to die for somebody that you just mildly like. God loves you. He's passionate for you, and he's waiting for you. The light is here. But how dumb would it be if you got off the plane, you see somebody waiting for you, and you just pushed past them, went down, took your carry-on, got all your baggage, all your stuff, hoisted it out to the curb, stood there and just hoped for a ride. And yet that's what so many of us do. God, you can pick me up when I get my stuff together. God, you can pick me up when I'm ready to really make that sacrifice. God, you can pick, you know what? I think that sign must have been for some other John Smith who was born on that day and has that eye color and that background. It just must not be for me. See, the light can be life if you want it to. The light can be inclusive, but you can uninclude yourself. The light is greater, but you can choose not to let it be your greater. The truth of the matter is that the light is here. The light's here. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
It's not tomorrow. Yes. It's not next week. You don't need to make an appointment with salvation. Yes. You don't have to fit it into your day planner. No, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that light is here.
Come on, if you're grateful that light's here, put your hands together. Come on, I just feel like we just need to have a moment of praise. We're going to close out the T. Light is transformative. Light is transformative. Light is life. It is inclusive. It is greater. It is here. But light is transformative. And it's transformative because light gives us hope. It gives us hope that we can change. It gives us hope that our family can be different. It gives us hope that our life and our future can really be different. And you see, it's hope that leads us to faith. It's hope that opens the door. I might not have faith in the beginning, but if I can just have enough hope that the door will open, that one day I can step into real faith. But faith always starts with an open door of hope. You see, I start hoping that things can be different. I start hoping that I can be included in this glorious message. I start with hoping that this light really was for me, that Jesus didn't just come for my next door neighbor and he didn't just come for my grandmother, that he really came for me, that the light is shining on me. And you see, and in the midst of all of this hope, I really have a hope for a new life. I have a hope for a new beginning. That's why Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, everybody say great mercy. It's in his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope. He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because his mercy was so great, because he loved us so much, Because his grace was so real and genuine and authentic. He has given us new birth. He has opened a door into new life. And he has given us a living hope. You see, that living hope is really faith. It's when faith is alive on the inside of you each and every day that you get to carry around this living hope. It's not just a feeling that you have on a Sunday morning sitting in church. No, this is a living hope that goes with you everywhere you go. You take it to work. You take it to the family dinner table. You get to carry this living hope on the inside of you. When you have this new birth and you experience this living hope, there's a fundamental change that begins to take place in our lives. A fundamental change. We go from being self-centered to God-centered. Because we've experienced this new birth, this brand new hope, this living hope that we have. It causes us not to focus on ourselves anymore, but it causes us to focus on God. Now I'm not the center of my world anymore. Now I've put God in the center of my world. It's another fundamental change that happens. I go from being a slave to sin to now I'm a son or a daughter of Almighty God. I used to let sin dictate my life, but not anymore. Now I've been born into a brand new family, and I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. And because of that, I want to honor the Father. Because of that, I want to please God with everything that is within me. You see, Christianity isn't about behavior modification. It's about soul restoration. It's not about behavior modification. Christianity is really about soul restoration. Yet, whenever you get a new identity on the inside, things start changing on the outside. Whenever I receive this grace that I did not deserve, when I realized that Almighty God has opened up his arms to me and I stepped out of my life into his unconditional love and I found out how great his mercy really was and I begin to be restored in my soul, things start changing on the outside of my life because I want to honor him and to please him and to walk with him and to live for him. You see, the light is transformative because it gives us hope that things can be different. That I don't have to live the way that I used to live. Things really can change. And because of that, when the light shines into my life, there is hope. But I'm here to tell you this morning that the light isn't transformative just because it brings hope. The light is also transformative because it brings help. Because wouldn't it be a really bad thing if the light just brought hope, but it didn't bring help to get you where you wanted to go? If it just brought hope that things could be different but didn't help you get to the different, it wouldn't be that much hope at all. You see, it's not just hope and leaving you helpless. No, God says, I'm going to give you hope and I'm going to be helpful in the process. That's what Paul writes about. He says it's not just about hope, it's also about help. In Ephesians chapter 1, this is the Amplified Version. Paul says, and I pray that the eyes of your heart, the very center and the core of your being, may be enlightened. That it would be flooded with light by the Holy Spirit. So he's saying the Holy Spirit is going to bring the light of God. He's going to shine it into your life. The Holy Spirit is going to bring the light of Jesus, and he's going to shine it in your life so that you can see something that you have never seen. Your eyes are going to be opened. Why? So that you will know and you'll cherish the hope. Everybody say hope. You see, the Holy Spirit brings the light to shine into your life so that you can see the hope that God is calling you to, so that you can see the hope that God is offering. The light comes in to shine in the midst of your darkness, to shine in your frustration, to shine in your confusion, and he shines such a bright light that all of a sudden there's a hope that rises up on the inside of you that says, wow, I don't have to be this way anymore. I don't have to stay angry. I don't have to stay jealous. I don't have to stay offended. Because there's hope that came into my life, and I see it now. I see it so clearly. Apostle Paul doesn't leave it there. As he moves down into verse 19, and he says, and. So he's praying now. He's praying that your eyes would be enlightened so that you could see this hope. And he's also praying that you will begin to know what the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of His active spiritual power is in us who believe. Paul says, I'm praying that the light shines into your life, and when that light shines, that you see a hope that you've never seen. But I don't want to leave you right there. I want you to know when the light shines, you're going to become aware that there is an unlimited, there is a surpassing power that is available because God put His Spirit on the inside of you. You see, the light is transformative because the light gives you hope. But Paul says, not only that, you need to know that it gives you help that is immeasurable. It gives you help that's unlimited when you're thinking, but how am I going to change? Well, there's unlimited help for you. How am I going to ever get out of this pit that I dug for myself? You need to know that there's surpassing power, power that you can't even comprehend, that will pull you up out of that pit. You might be saying today, but I've made so many mistakes. How will I ever? Because when the light shines, it gives you hope that you can be different, and then it gives you help to make you different. God says, I will supply the hope, and I will supply the help. And then thirdly, God comes along. God says, my light is transformative. Not just because it gives you hope. And not just because it gives you help. But because my light will give you a home. See, the light of God today wants to give you a home. It wants to give you a home while you're here on earth. You see, you need to understand today that Jesus came to this earth so that He could bring heaven to earth. You don't need to just be sitting back waiting on eternity. You can start living with eternity in your heart today. God created you for eternity. You see, the power of the light is that you will get to live forever in eternity. But why would we wait until then to get to experience some of the things that we can experience now? Because God's giving you an opportunity to live in the light right now, to live in the home, in the family of God right now. And the family of God on the earth is called the local church. And you have the opportunity to walk with brothers and sisters. You have the opportunity to live life with people who love Jesus just like you. And we encourage people here to get connected in a local church because it's preparation for heaven. It's preparation for eternity. You say, well, I don't like people. I don't like church. Well, then you're going to be really disappointed with heaven. Because heaven is going to be full of people. Start practicing for heaven right now by getting involved in the local church. But here's the glory. Here's the glory of the light and the glory of the fact that it's transformative, it creates a home. And that means that you can go to a city that you've never been in before, and you can walk into a church in that city and not know one person. But let me tell you, whenever you walk into the church, you're at home because they are your relatives. They are your brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And today, the body of Christ, it's not just in Shreveport and Bossier City. It's not just in Louisiana. It's not just in the United States of America. Today, the body of Christ and the kingdom of God is wrapping all around the world. And today you could go into a place where you don't even understand the language that they're speaking, but you're still at home because you're with people that have dedicated their life to God and opened up their hearts, and they said, He is the light of the world. He is the light for the world. And He is the light that is transforming me because He gave me hope and He gave me help and He gave me a home that will last for all eternity. Come on, will you stand with me this morning?
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were encouraged by the Word of God. If you'd like more information on North Point Community Church, you can find us online at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com.